Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit Podcast. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. And today I have with me Dee Boswell Buck, who is a certified social media strategist. And Dee works primarily with women-led business owners to help transform their online marketing so that she can help them grow their businesses. So Dee's business is called Boswell Buck Creative Consulting. So really excited to learn more about your journey of growing your business, Dee. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me here, Julia.
Yeah, absolutely. So to get started, I'd love to know what really motivates or inspires you as a business owner.
So what motivates me is, I just think back to when I started my business and, considering that I work with a lot of women-led business owners, women tend to have a difficult time putting themselves out there. Like, they're very sure about what it is that they do for their brand, but they have a hard time. Is it the term tooting their horn? What motivates me is, always thinking back to when I first got started and knowing that, like, this is a part that people are very afraid to do, not just women business owners, but, many people, they're just afraid to market their business. So I'm just motivated every day to get their word out there, but get it out there in the online space in a strategic way. Mm-hmm. So it's not about wasting time, but getting in front of, like, the right audience.
Yeah, I love that. And you have a really interesting story about, how you got started in the digital space. You started a mom group. So yeah, tell us a little bit about what that journey was like for you, how you got started in the digital space, and then how it segued into you starting your consulting company.
Yeah, so I fell in. So I don't think anyone can see, but I just did, like, these air quotes. I fell into the life of an entrepreneur by accident. So what had happened was that, I went on maternity leave. And, based on, like, statistics, I had my baby late in life. So at the age of 41, and, where I was working a 9-to-5 job, and where I was working with anywhere from 700 to 1000 people every single day. So when I went on maternity leave, I had these big plans. I'm going to read 50 Shades of Grey. I'm going to do some gardening. And what I discovered was that, the opposite happened. I ended up being, very lonely because I was working with 1000 people. Mm-hmm. And I was just too tired to read this book as well. And, I was kind of depressed. And my husband, he sent me, he called me on the phone. He's like, you got to get out there. And he found me some mom groups. And I went out to these mom groups and I would pack the bag for the baby, and it would take so long, and I would get there and I would find these group activities that were happening through a website called meetup.com. Mm. And I would go out to these groups and I would discover that nobody was there. So when I did some checking, I found out that these were very old groups that were created. And I decided that I was going to start my own mom group because I just needed to be around people.
Yeah.
So I, on meetup.com, I created my group, and I created it maybe 4 months into my maternity leave. And I just started off with having, like, simple walks in the mall. So my very first meetup was at a mall, and I was very scared. And so many people said that they were going to come out, so many moms. And that day there was like 20 moms who came out to the mall to go for this walk.
Yeah.
And I was just so excited. Like I was excited for that one day. And then before we left, they said, so when are we going to meet again? So we would meet at the malls. I would start creating different activities for us all to meet at parks, etc. And I got very enthusiastic. So when I'm a very enthusiastic person, I just throw myself in. Mm-hmm. So I just said I was too tired to read 50 Shades of Grey, but I decided I'm going to start a Facebook page for this mom group, which by the way, you could still find it. There hasn't been a post for years, but it's called Momalicious Mamas. So I started a Facebook page. I started a Twitter account. I used a little bit of that maternity pay that was coming through, and I created a website, all like just reading on Google how to do this stuff. Mm-hmm. So by the time I returned back to work, I already had companies reaching out to me, like wow. The Children's Place, that store. And they reached out to me if they can get connected with the group. And I asked them, well, that's great. How does this work? And they said that they would just send us some promo codes. And I'm like, wait a second. So you're going to get access to my group and make some money. And that's when the bells went off mm-hmm. that this could be a little bit lucrative. So I was arranging for people to come in, you know, via online to, you know, talk to us about how to feed our babies, how to put them to sleep. And so by the time I returned back to work, maybe 9 months after the group was created, I had about 400 active members. So active members being that they were showing up to these events, or they were friends, they were making like some really great connections. Some of them were taking on roles because some of these moms came in a little bit later. Mm-hmm. And it turned into where I was blogging for some companies as well. So at the end of this very long story, I was back at work, maybe like 13 months in back at work. And I decided to update my LinkedIn profile. So a lot of people on LinkedIn at the time. And it's like, okay, I'm just going to be on LinkedIn just for the sake of being on LinkedIn. But I was just so proud of everything that I did. So yeah. I updated my LinkedIn, mentioned that, you know, there's a Twitter account, we've done some PR. And what happened was 24 hours later, LinkedIn started showing me jobs for digital marketing, community management, social media manager. I did not know what this was. Mm-hmm. And I remembered saying to my husband, oh my gosh, like people get paid to post stuff. That was all it meant to me, like to post yeah. stuff.
Yeah.
So I decided to go back to school. I was still working that 9-to-5 job, driving one way 62 kilometers to work and back. And I took a course on to get my certification in social media management. And that is how I fell into it.
Interesting. That's such a cool story. I love that. And yeah, it's it can be such a transformative time, you know, when you have your child. And I was the same. I was running an agency, and then I had my daughter, and I just, yeah, I was kind of like feeling a little bit burnt out, like ready for a change. And that's actually how I ended up starting Review Robin as well. So it's a really interesting time in your life. And I think, you know, if you're able to take advantage of that time when you're just home and, you know, the baby's napping, you can, you know, work on your business. And yeah, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. So awesome. So how have you, since you started your business, how has it evolved? Like, how do you continue to bring in more leads into your consulting company to grow it?
Well, what I do is I just go with that mindset that I have for my clients, that you always have to show up. So, you know, the big thing that my clients have, or when they approach me, is that they are struggling to show up, or they don't have that time to do it. Well, for me, I'm just always like, okay, this is a great opportunity to show up. Or maybe I'm out walking outside and I think of it as a photo op. And so everything, like I always have pictures on the go. But yeah, my thing is that you always have to show up. So for me, bringing in leads consistently is, you know, sharing content, making sure that I'm on the right platform. So you don't have to be on all of the platforms, but you should be on the ones that are, you know what, not so much that are comfortable for you, but where your audience is.
Yes.
So, you know, right now I'm quite active on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. And I know that there are some other opportunities. So like next year, I'll be hitting that switch on the YouTube channel and the Pinterest account we've started. Mm-hmm. But again, I really believe that you've got to like master where you are first. So you'll see that I'm on those platforms about 5 times per week, making sure that I'm utilizing the platforms in their unique ways. So Instagram, they have, you know, you could use a lot of hashtags, but you don't use all of those hashtags on LinkedIn. And then also when I talk about utilizing those platforms in their unique ways is that on LinkedIn, I'm not just there to post content, but I'm actually like making connections as well. So I'm looking for who my target audience is, and then I'm actually reaching out to them and using that platform to network as well. So I just do that consistently. And then, you know, you have the right people who are following your content as well. And last but not least, you know, I'm very proud of myself that my newsletter has been going out weekly. So when that awesome. Newsletter goes out every single week, then I do find that I have people like reading it. And then, you know, they're not ready for me at that moment, but they do circle back a little bit later.
Interesting. Okay, very good. So yeah, just basically practicing what you preach, making sure yes. you're visible on social. And then, yeah, just, and then your weekly newsletter as well.
Yes.
So very good. And so how do you maintain happy clients so that, you know, hopefully they're going to refer your name out there to help grow your agency?
Well, so I said that I used to work with 1,100 people. So I worked in retail for 26 years. Okay. And, you know, you always hear that the customer is always right. And that's not always true. However, you always want to, in a retail setting, you want to make sure that, you know, your customer is happy. So at one point I was working in the stores for the first 4 years of that working that company. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I was working in their distribution center. So to me, my customers were my customers, they were my staff. So my staff would be, you know, in the building 1,100, but my staff that I worked with one-on-one, that would be a staff of like either 15 to 40 people, for instance, and you got to keep them happy. There were like a lot of personalities there. Right. And then you're also that middle person. So it was a unionized environment. So you got to keep your staff happy. You have to keep the managers happy. And then, you know, there are things where people are not getting along or rules have to be followed. So it was very, it was, I called it like, you know, being very political. You just have to keep everyone happy, say the right things, do the right things as well. So mm-hmm. that's what I do now. I like to create a lot of touch points. So I do have it where, you know, my clients, every month when we are working on any type of their marketing, they do have like once per month where we get on a call via Zoom for half an hour. And I have to, what I do is I share their results. So it's not just like, oh, great, I got some likes. That's okay, because likes, they make you feel all warm and fuzzy. But then if you don't see it converting, likes really don't mean a thing. So, yeah. You know, my clients, I want to show them like what is happening with those insights that we're sharing on social media. I like to share with them like what has happened. Are we moving people from the social media platforms to their website? Are we moving people? How many people have we moved from social media to their DMs? I also like to meet with my clients because, you know, my tagline is that I'm your partner in digital marketing. And one of the things that I heard often as people, you know, as people started working with me is that, you know, my social media content was being done and I don't like it. Or my social media content was being put out there, and it didn't really represent who I am. Mm-hmm. And then when I would speak to this company, they would say, "Well, this is just the way that it's done, right?" So I want my clients to know that when we meet every single month, their input is very valuable. And it's also my opportunity to let them know, you know, how it is that they can help me to be more successful as well. So I have a client, and she was like, I need to be on social media. And it was like, we don't have enough pictures, or the pictures that we had, her audience had seen them often. So it was a great opportunity for me to say, you know what? This is what happened when you sent me a picture off the cuff, and this was a brand new picture, and this is all of the engagement. You had so many people reach out to you. I need more, you know, I need you to help me. So not only do I have that half hour meeting, but, you know, I have it where my clients every single week, they have the opportunity to see their content. So we write their content weekly, then it gets sent to them. So that's like another touch point. And then they get to review it. So they can go into the document, they can make their comments, and then we can go in and they can see that we've seen their comments in terms of their review. And then, you know, before we write their content, even though we know what type of strategy we have in place, we let them know, you know, Lisa, we're, you know, you know what, that we write for you on Fridays, but we were just thinking that it is a national day that is coming up. Do you have a picture that would help with that? So then we're going to use it in your content. So again, they know that they're very much a part of the process and that there's no surprises. So I just love a lot of touch bases for my clients.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it really helps them to feel heard and know that they are, you know, top of mind. You're thinking about them. They're not being, you know, buried amongst, you know, the other clients that you're having to manage. So I agree. I think having that communication dialed in and having, you know, as many touch points as your clients are comfortable with, I think makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. So what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've grown Boswell Buck Creative Consulting?
I might have more than one. Can I share two?
Sure.
Okay, so my first challenge that I had was, so my company is about 4.5 years now, and I've always wanted to have an agency, but I probably waited a little bit too long. So I started the company like on my own, and then, you know, I ended up reaching out to a VA, and last year was the first time that I hired someone. So, you know, the first major challenge that I had was just doing everything on my own. So I think I just wanted to mention that, because often when people are starting a business, it's sort of like, oh, I can't hire someone right now. How much will that cost me? But what was happening was that I had a very difficult time growing. And also I was staying up way too late trying to play catch up. You know, that time was also taken away from my family. So the major challenge that I had, which, you know, I've overcome, I've got a small and mighty team now, and I also reach out to contractors as well. So I've got some trusted contractors that I work with, and, you know, that has, you know, helped me immensely. And also, of course, you know, when you have more people working with you, the ball doesn't drop, and you have, you know, everything is being done. And I also love the fact that, you know, I'm empowering my team to like reach out to my clients too, so that they're not just reaching out to Dee, but they also know that they can reach out to this other individual or another individual too. So it gives everybody, including my clients, some peace of mind. And another challenge that I had, which was a little bit of a challenge, but I had that mindset to overcome it, was the start of the pandemic. Like many people, you know, people froze. So I did lose the majority of my clients, but I'm a glass half full kind of person. And it was like, okay, I think those were the right individuals. And, you know, how is it that you are going to turn things around? Because not only are you working on your own, but, you know, how is it that you can do things that are bringing you more joy? So even like more than what I was doing before, I started showing up even more. And I also started being very clear on what my message was. sideline for a moment was that a mini challenge was that sometimes people would reach out to me for things that it is that I don't do. Can you get me 10,000 followers? I have done that for some of my clients, but I want to get you 500 of the right followers who are mm-hmm. actually going to like fill your pocket. So that challenge was that I lost the clients at the beginning of the pandemic, but you know, thankfully a lot of people had to go online. So I got the right clients back and I didn't say yes to everybody. So one of the things that have been very helpful for me is not saying yes to everything, but saying yes to the things that are going to bring me joy.
Yes, I love that. Yeah, I think it's so important to really focus on bringing on your ideal client because, yeah, it's just going to save you so many, you know, headaches and frustration down the road. You're going to be happier. You're going to deliver better results because it's what you want to be working on. So, yeah, I think it makes so much sense.
Yes, that was it. And actually, I don't even say ideal client anymore because it's funny. I was speaking to somebody and she said, I don't know if people get out of bed. Like what happens when, for people who need help with their social media, do they get out of bed and say, gee whiz, I wish I could reach my ideal client. So now what I do, I have this vision in my mind. I think about like Disney Snow White. And, you know, she wakes up and she stretches out her arms and then the bluebirds come and they cloak her. And she's like, you just see, she's just dreaming of a beautiful day.
Yeah.
So on occasion, I mean, I still say ideal client in my content, but now I say things like dream clients because that was what's making all of these Disney characters happy, right?
They're
talking to their animal friends and they just got these big dreams. So
I love it. Yeah. Yeah. Who you want to be working with at the end of the day, that you're going to enjoy working with.
Yeah.
Awesome. So where do you see Boswell Buck Creative Consulting in 5 years' time?
Well, in 5 years' time, I would like to have a larger team. You know, I used to think that I want to have like office space, structured walls, people coming in, glass windows and things like that. And, you know, 2020 has shown me that you don't have to work within a structure, but mm-hmm. I really enjoy structure. So, you know, I see a larger team, a team of 10. That's as big as I see. And not because I don't think I can work with something larger, but I like that nice little number of 10.
Yeah.
After working in a company with so many people, I see structure. So I love that stuff like SOPs, standard operating procedures. So everybody is happy. I see where I am providing for my team. So I'd like to have that team where I provide benefits. I'd like to, you know, employ people so that they can also make that difference in the world, that they can go out there and shop with other small business owners. Mm-hmm. With the company I worked with previously, you know, I took all of these courses to become certified. And because at the time I wanted to go into their marketing department. Of course, once I graduated, I was too green to go into their marketing department. But the thing is that when I went to those classes, as long as my marks were like a certain level, then I got reimbursed for a portion. And I would love to do that for my team as well. And, you know, I would love to continue to work with, you know, small business owners, but say business owners who are very clear that they don't want to do things on their own and that they're in that hiring stage. Mm-hmm. And high level, small, medium owners to like medium. And I prefer not to go large because I don't like red tape, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you work with red tape, then you can't rip that Band-Aid off to go off and do something different in the marketing world, right?
Yeah.
How it is that you put things out there, you have to get things checked off and things have got to go through a study and all that. So I really want to work with people who are just ready to take that plunge and be very clear about who it is that they want to reach. But mm-hmm. also I like to work with the type of people who like to have answers. So that's where the meetings come into play.
Yeah. Oh, I love how well you've thought that out, you know, what you, how you envision your agency, the size of your team, as well as, you know, what types of clients you want to be working with. So yeah, that's a very exciting 5-year plan.
Thank you. And last but not least, well, not that we're wrapping up, but last but not least, I mean, I would love to go onto the speaker circuit, you know, going off and being on a stage and talking about how to do marketing. And I say that where it's not necessarily that my way is the right way, but I think there's a lot of, like thoughts out there that everyone's got to do things a certain way. So for instance, you have to keep everybody on the social media platform, and not ask people to go to your website. Like, what is that? That makes no sense to me. We've spent so much money on our websites. Move people over there where they can find out more about you. So I want to like be on the stage to let everybody know that you could break some of these rules, because if you, social media is a really great way to like leverage the platform. But if you just play by the rules of the platforms that you're on, it benefits them and not so much you. So I think a lot of people have got to hear that message.
It's really interesting. So we're going to be moving on to the Fast Five here shortly. But before we do that, do you have any, you know, final thoughts or words of wisdom that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Any final thoughts? Yes. Here's my final thought. Because, you know, people come to me and they say, I'm looking for a social media strategy. I just don't know what to do. And I want to say that your strategy begins with the goals of your business. So what are the goals of your business? What are the things that you want to do within the next 3 months? What are the top things that people are actually buying? What are the questions that more and more people, that most of the people who reach out to you are asking about? And then we need to build that social media strategy around that. So that is your base. So that is just something I wanted to say.
Yes. Yeah. So important to really just dig in, find out, you know, where, what their goals are, where they want to be growing their business, and just doing whatever you can to help them meet, reach those goals.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So now I'm going to have 5 rapid fire questions for you. Are you ready?
I think so.
So first question, what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
So I'm going to answer this differently. Because I stay up a little bit later than I should, you know, I've got some books that are on the go and I tend to fall asleep, not because they're boring, but I can say that there's a marketing podcast that I really love that brings me a lot of joy, and it's called Social Media Examiner. And, you know, they give some really great tips, and I always feel so empowered after I've heard an episode. So I listen to it in the car. I don't listen to music when I'm running. I listen to that podcast. So there you go for that answer.
Awesome. Perfect. Social Media Examiner. And what does your morning routine look like?
My morning routine is, you know, I wake up at specifically 5:40 a.m. and I say a prayer and I practice gratitude. I write in a journal. So in this journal, on the first page, it's about what are all of the things that you're grateful for. And there's a line, it's quite a few lines, and then there's one line for an affirmation. And I want to say, like, on the other side in the evening, it wraps up with what are all the great things that happened. So I write in that journal, and then I do some affirmations for myself. You know, I look in the mirror, it's like, you are the business owner of choice. You know, people, you are a thought leader, your staff feels great when they work with you. Like, I say those affirmations and I end it with, and you got this. And then after that, it's getting up, but just taking a look at my phone and making sure that everybody has been scheduled. Cause I do have some early morning clients where their content goes up very early. Then I'm out of bed, you know, family time, we're getting ready for the day. Then I drop my daughter off to school. And then I just get on a brief call with my team, and that would be the morning.
Awesome. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Yeah, I follow, there is somebody named Sheila Cummins, S-H-E-L-A-G-H. And she has a pretty good, She has a pretty cool podcast. I love to hear content that just tells you like it is, like there's no fluff. Mm-hmm. And so I really enjoy that podcast and also, you know, her content. And I've also like had the opportunity to like attend some of her free and paid workshops. So I really enjoy listening and following her.
Amazing.
And she's Canadian.
Very cool. And do you have a favorite online tool?
A favorite online tool is, you know, we started using HoneyBook as our project okay. manager. Mm-hmm. So, you know, still digging through there. And, but it's made a world of difference, like just in terms of minor things, seeing that people have actually read their emails and knowing mm-hmm. that you have to follow up. And just being able to like have that project, having that client workflow, because I didn't really have one last year. So right. I'm really enjoying it. So I'm looking forward to digging into that a little bit more.
Love it. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
No is a full sentence and a complete answer. Yeah. So when I say that, it's totally okay to say no, thank you. Mm-hmm. I find that if you say no, thank you, because such and such, well, once you add on the because such and such, because you're usually saying that to make the other person feel better, right? Mm-hmm. So when you add on those extra pieces, then there could be an opportunity for them to have a workaround with like, oh, well, that's okay. Then we can just do it this way. So, you know, just remembering that it's totally fine to, in a nice way, to say no and, you know, to say no, thank you, if you're just not comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. Great advice. I love that. Awesome. Well, Dee, thank you so much for joining me for today's episode. It was a real pleasure to learn about your journey of starting your agency. And I really enjoyed learning about those challenges that you had to overcome along the way. So thank you for joining me for today's episode.
Thank you so much for having me, Julia. Had a great time.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.